is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it. No matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome to The Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Our guest this evening is author Jerry D. Coleman, and he is the author of two books, Strange Highways, a guidebook to American mysteries and the unexplained, and More Strange Highways, which is a book about more true stories of America's unknown creatures and mysterious happenings. We'll be back with Jerry in a minute. First, I'd like to make a quick mention for our friend Wayne Herschel, who is in Minnesota this week from South Africa. He was our guest last week and was here to talk to us about the hidden records, and I invite you to check out his website at thehiddenrecords.com, and there you can actually see real geometric codes that have to do with the Da Vinci Code. This week, though, he's going to take you on a journey back in time, linking the Da Vinci Code with new discoveries in the pyramid era, and it's a preview of a real geometric code with a profound message, and he's going to be live at two events. They're free events. One is at the New Edina Library. That's Wednesday, May 24th at 6:30 p.m. And that address is 5280 Grandview Square in Edina. Again, that's the New Edina Library on Wednesday, May 24th at 6:30. And I will be there as well to introduce Wayne. So come on out. Let's shake hands and say hi. Southdale Area Library is his next appearance, which will be on Thursday. That's located at 7001 York Avenue South in Edina. And that will be a 3 o'clock in the afternoon appearance. He'll be doing that on Thursday, the 25th of May. And again, come on out. Get a chance to hear this very genuine man, very intelligent man. And he's got some really compelling evidence for you to review, so you want to check that out. And again, I invite you to check out his website to look at the real geometric evidence there at thehiddenrecords.com. Look forward to meeting you on Wednesday and Thursday. Hope to see you there. And get back into our guests that we have with us this evening. We have author Jerry Coleman with us. We're talking to him about Strange Highways. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about Bigfoot. And we got an email in from a friend of our show here, and his name is Daniel on the boards. Daniel would like to follow up with the Bigfoot question. Go ahead, Tim. Let's have you read that for him.
Well, Mr. Coleman, he wants to know what your take is on the North American great ape or Bigfoot. Does he also, as many others seem to believe, that it is actually an undiscovered ape in North America instead of the normal belief that it is a
Gigantopithecus?
Gigantopithecus, yes. As others do. And by the way, in Scrabble, that's like 8 points.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Do you believe that it has something to do with Gigantopithecus?
No, I do not.
Okay.
And that's, I know that's against the norm, that's against the popular belief, but no, I don't believe that at all.
Do you believe him to be an undiscovered form of ape?
If there is a Bigfoot out there, if he's not extinct by now, I really lean more towards that. Perhaps Patterson took the last known species, a photograph of it, but
there are so many
you'd have
sightings
the argument
constantly.
That
yeah.
Yes, that there's still but there's so many hoaxes that go on in this. There's
right.
Look at Penn and Teller, what they just did.
I missed that. What did they do?
They staged a whole like almost like a Patterson video with Hollywood makeup artist and filmed it, tried to pass it off as legit, and it was some of the bigger Bigfoot organizations jumped right on it as more proof, solid evidence. And they just, during their special, they revealed it, that it was all a hoax.
Okay. Dan, thanks for the question. I'm going to get you out a copy. If you want to email us your address, I'll make sure to get you a set of Myth or Real collector cards so you can have the full complete collection. We've got Series 1 and Series 2 here, and it's 80-card collection. So make sure to email it in to us, and we'll get you out a set of those. You know, something that's interesting as we've been going along with this Gigantus Pithecus theory, people are saying there can't be a Bigfoot. They should have found, you know, fossilized remains or things. I think what's kind of interesting, and I was just reading over the weekend, is that, you know, it's only been within, I think even just within the last 100 years that we found the great apes, the gorilla. And it wasn't until, right, it wasn't until, you know, after the discovery of the gorilla that they started finding bones and remains of the gorilla. So it could just be that we just aren't finding them because we're not looking in the right place at this point.
That could be, but then again, I mean, we're talking about Africa, and that's remote, and there's it's really hard to get back in there to those places. It's not like the Great Northwest or the areas of Florida.
But there are so many areas that are not lived in and are remote still here in the United States, in Canada, that don't you believe that these creatures could still exist out there and just blend
yeah.
in and
oh,
maybe
absolutely.
Even have an underground colony?
I believe it's possible, yes. But I also think, I mean, it's like we're always 2 years away from proving it. In 67, it was like, within 5 years, we'll prove this, and this has been going on for 40 years now.
Well, it was interesting, too, with that original film footage that they have, that one of the big arguments they said that it couldn't be a costume is when it's walking, you can actually see the muscle ripple pattern as it walks.
You're right, in the thigh, yes.
Right. So there's definitely something going on there that lends itself to believe that it's a little bit more than just a hoax.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So you believe that his video does show, or his film does show, what you believe is a real Bigfoot?
I do.
Okay.
All yes, right. I do.
One of the other things I want to mention from your first book I'd like to learn a little bit more about is the Lawndale Big Birds. And then we'll move on to your second book. But what are the Lawndale Big Birds, and what is it?
Those were thunderbirds. That was the biggest case in the 70s that started a whole flap of Big Bird sightings. And this is where Marlon Lowe in Lawndale, Illinois, was allegedly picked up and carried 35 feet and in front of five adult witnesses. And it made national news. I went down there and interviewed him within 48 hours after the incident. And they still to this day, they stick to that story.
And what was his story? Can you tell us a little bit more about it? I mean,
oh, sure. There were two large birds. I'm talking huge. Were the
like pterodactyl size that we've seen in the movies, or what?
Well, at least yes. It was 14 feet wingspan. There were two of them flying wingtip to wingtip. As they were, the Marlon Lowe was playing out back with a couple boys, hide and go seek. As the birds came down, well, he came running around the house. Marlon did. The other two boys scattered and hid, and the larger of the two birds swooped down and grabbed him by his T-shirt and allegedly picked him up and carried him. And at that time, his mother, Ruth, saw this, screamed, ran towards the bird. Marlon was hitting at the bird, and it dropped him. And that's how their story goes, basically.
Now, how often has this happened? How many sightings have they seen of these giant birds?
Well, in the 70s, there was, like I said, there was a huge flap of them that went on down into Illinois, through Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, and ended up in Florida. And that lasted the rest of the decade, really, basically. But most of the larger bird sightings, what people consider thunderbird sightings, come from Alaska.
Oh, okay.
And they're reported by pilots, and that gives it a little more credence.
Well, if something that big, why wouldn't it appear on some form of radar?
Well, they have said that it has and that it does, but there's no documentation of that.
Well, with all the satellites that are out there and all the imagery they can get, I can't believe we can't lock in on one of these giant flying birds and lock. So, I guess I should ask, what's your theory? Do you believe that they do exist, or is this just another hoax and hallucination?
Well, it's difficult to say because you have no gauge once an animal is up in the sky. There's nothing to support its size, and another drawback to this is that there's so many bird watchers in the United States and in the world that with all those eyes up there and everyone documenting different species, that one would think that there would certainly be a thunderbird documented by now.
So you believe that they don't really exist?
I believe that they don't really exist.
Okay.
I hate to get cornered like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, that's okay. I don't want to really say what I do and don't believe, because it's really not up to me to say, you know?
Sure. No, that's fine. Well, I'm just curious. I know that you try to present it for the reader to make the decision. I'm just curious, though, on some of these points, because I am not following on some of them. I don't get the read if you're really having a belief. And I'm just curious for yourself, you know, where you come from on these standpoints.
Well, as far as the Lawndale incident, like, I spent 25 years on that case, documented it, interviewed and re-interviewed them, visited the scenes, spoke with neighbors, police, sheriff, everyone. And even though they stick to the story, but just the boy's momentum when he was running around the house, and I personally believe that he just assumed that he was lifted off the ground with just due to the sheer fear of the event. And I do believe that there were two very large birds, perhaps condors, because in those days, in the 70s, and in Illinois, there was no law against keeping them.
Sure.
And people did keep those.
So let's be honest here, Jerry. Do you think most people are just nuts?
No, not at all. No.
No. Because it kind of sounds like that. You know, I mean, I feel bad because I haven't had the chance. I believe that when I was growing up, that my grandparents owned an estate in Alabama, 40 acres, and we used to fish down at the pond, and, you know, there were alligators and snakes and birds and things and all kinds of crazy stuff. But you would hear things stomping, or, I mean, it sounded like stomping around in the woods. And I know my cousin Rob and I were sitting there fishing one day when we both looked up and saw what we thought was a large, hairy creature staring back at us. And I didn't know Tim at the time, so it wasn't him. But
I was stalking you at a young age, boy.
So,
but there's so many variables possible, and people, I don't think that people really cover all the variables, all the possibilities. I mean, you have to go through every known species in the world before you can cross the line. In my mind,
right. But what species is there that stands erect, upright on 2 feet? You know, just for in case people that didn't understand what the word erect meant, I went into detail there.
I was giggling.
Well, a bear can.
Okay.
And
this didn't have a bear feature, though. I mean, it wasn't the long snout. It wasn't, you know, it didn't look bear-like to me. I mean, I was old enough to know what a bear looked like. But,
true, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just where my question is on the situation. But, you know, I mean, that's really the only cryptozoological type of animal I've ever experienced out there, and I believe I've seen UFO activity. I'm just not sure what I'm seeing because there are so many different experimental planes and things out there that we don't know about. And my experience is some of them with UFO activity happened in this remote area in Alabama, Mobile, Alabama, which is not far from Pensacola, which is where a lot of the, you know, they do testing and things like that out there as well. So I'm not sure now in adult life reviewing what I saw was what I saw. You know, I mean, it very well could have just been experimental craft that they were flying over these remote areas of Alabama at the time.
Right, yes, uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break here, pay some bills. We'll be back to talk to Jerry Coleman. We'll talk to him more about his sequel to his book, More Strange Highways. We'll do that right after this.
The New York Times has raved about the show. The Star Tribune says it's paranormally funny. And the Biscayne Bugle said, how could they put this crap on the air and live with themselves?
I am so, so sorry for everything that has happened. Because in spite of what Mike says now, it is my fault. Because it was my project. Everything had to be my way. And this is where we've ended up.
Stay tuned. There's more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
This is Dave Schrader from the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. Each week, we delve into the web of the unknown and deal with a lot of scary subjects. But nothing makes my blood run colder or scares me more than dealing with technology. That's why we turned to the experts when we wanted our website for the show set up and maintained. In the studio with me is Don Raleigh, owner of Evolve Systems. Don and his exceptional staff were easy to work with and made setting up our site a breeze. Don, what is it that sets you apart from other web developers?
Well, Dave, we make your business visions come to life by creating, maintaining, and hosting all of your internet needs. We do this by listening to our clients. We offer programs and price plans to fit any budget. And Dave, I mean any budget. Call us at 651-628-4000 and put us to work for you.
Call Don at Evolve Systems, 651-628-4000. I did, and I couldn't be happier with the results.
That's because we take the ugh out of technology, Dave. Call us today at 651-628-4000 or visit us on the web at www.evolve-systems.com, serving the entire United States. That's Evolve Systems, helping you to manage change. Cheers.
Okay, each of you youngins take a gun, a beer, and some smoke.
Throttle, circuit breakers in. We have separation. Inboard and outboard are on. We're coming forward with the side stick.
I've got a blow it. Number three,
hit your pitch to zero.
Pitch is out again. Hold altitude.
Direction help.
Dave.
You bastard!
Dave Schrader, paranormal host.
A man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic
paranormal host. Dave Schrader
will be that man. Better than he was before.
What is it that makes you set shoot?
Better, stronger, faster.
Run, Forrest!
Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Good evening and welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. This is Dave Schrader, along with my co-host Tim Dennis. We have on the line with us this evening Jerry D. Coleman, who is the author of More Strange Highways, and also Strange Highways, where he talks about true, or mostly true, America's unknown creatures and happenings. You can get his books anywhere through any major bookseller. You can also check it out on the internet at prairieghosts.com, which is a division of Whitechapel Productions. And I believe there's information about the books there, so you can check that out. We do have a couple copies of the books that we're giving away this evening. I would like to mention, too, that coming up next week, we do have Michael Underwood, who will be on hand to talk to us about reincarnation, angels, spirit guides. Fantastic guest. You're going to absolutely love him. And then joining us for the second hour will be April Greenwalt, who will be on hand to talk to us. She's a paranormal investigator, and she's got some really cool information to share with us about Lehigh Hospital that she's been investigating for quite a while. We have some creepy EVPs to share with you. She was also at the Skinwalker Ranch, which will be kind of a follow-up to the stories that we've done over the last month here. But she was just out at the Skinwalker Ranch and has some really interesting stuff to share with us. I also want to mention that check us out in a couple weeks here in June. Again, after our TAPS program, we're going to have on Paula will be with us on the first Sunday in June, and then Lisa from Ghost Hunters will also be joining us for the second hour. We'll be talking about the live event that we had just done. The following weekend, though, a good friend of our show here, a real sweet lady, Diana Avena, will be with us, and she is in charge of the Roswell Ghost Tours in Roswell, Georgia. She's fantastic. She'll be on hand to talk to us about a new show that she's working on and her investigations into the paranormal. We'll also be joined that evening by Peter Burns, who is a new show coming up on Court TV. I'm sorry, Patrick Burns. Peter Burns. Sorry about that, Tim. Good catch. Patrick Burns will be on hand to talk to us about a new show that he has coming up on Court TV. Right now, though, on the line with us, we have Jerry Coleman, the author of Strange Highways and More Strange Highways. We were just discussing some of the different topics that he's covered in his books. Now let's start talking about the second book here that we have. One of your chapters that you have here is called Creatures That Cross the Line. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, Dave. But if I may, I'd like to say that your guests are throwing out some great questions tonight.
Great. Yeah, the listeners are fantastic. I appreciate anything they do. And if you have questions you'd like to call in, our phone number here is 612-375-1400. Again, that's 612-375-1400. Or you can email in your questions to dave@darknessradio.com. Again, that's dave@darknessradio.com. All right, let's go ahead and go on now. Talk to you a little bit more, like I said, about the first part of your book, which is Creatures That Cross the Line. What do you mean by that, and what does that chapter cover for him?
Okay, one of the first cases that was most intriguing to me that's in that chapter was the rape of Clara, and this is where that she was housewife, two children. She was home alone, waiting for her children to get home on the bus, and she had an incident where that. If you're familiar with the old hag syndrome, where
let's not talk about my wife on the air, okay?
that's where a demon type entity sets on a person's chest. They can't breathe. They know that something evil is happening.
Right, sleep paralysis stuff. Sure.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And this is what she was experiencing. But she and then the air brakes of the bus went off. And she awoke, or came to, or it disappeared. She didn't know, but that's the way that she categorized it in her mind. Well, months went by without an incident, and then she was out getting ready to plant some flowers in her yard, and she went into the shed to get her tools, and she was basically slung into a swing. Her blouse was ripped open. And she again experienced the same paralysis, fear, but this time she knew that she was awake. She could see the clouds and the birds flying over. And then just as quick as it happened, it disappeared. Well, she called her father about it. Her father said that, you know, she probably needs a vacation. She needs to get away for a while. Just come over and he'll take care of her, see the doctor. She did all this and everything was fine. Well, this went on for a while longer, in as far as her fear of this. But then after a while, it diminished, and she had forgotten about it. Everything seemed to clear up after visiting with her dad and taking some time off. And one day, while the two boys were in the living room watching television, she was getting ready to get in the shower. She had she was in the restroom and. Again, it happened. The lights went out, the pressure on the chest, and the long and short of it is that she felt that this thing raped her and felt that that's what it was all about, that that's why this demon was coming after her. Well, I had some concern about this after speaking with her, that perhaps not only was it something that... she felt happened, but possibly really did happen. So I sent over a rape specialist to talk to her. And, of course, because of the Privacy Act, I didn't get too much information after that. But the person that I sent over there did concur that something indeed did happen to her. But whether it was real, whether it was spiritual.
Well, that was my question. Do you feel that... Do you feel that things and events that have happened like this could just be mentally blocking out the fact that she was actually raped by a human being,
and
her mind just blocked it out because of the pressure and the terror?
As a male, mm-hmm. I really can't answer the torment that a female must go through.
Oh, sure, and I'm not trying to belittle it. I mean, rape is a horrible, horrible thing to have happen, you know, whether it be real or you know, spiritually or demonically. But I'm just wondering if, you know, I mean, we find now that the brain does so many things to protect ourselves.
Oh, exactly.
You and know, that's it would almost lend to believe that, you know, in that kind of situation, you'd think maybe it was the father that was doing these type of things, and her mind just snapped and she would block it out and literally would not see what was happening or who was doing it because she couldn't take that view.
I don't know, but that's why I took it so serious and
sure.
Felt, you know, compelled to call someone and follow this up, not just to hear a story, write it, and go on.
Mr. Coleman, I know you got very limited information from the psychotherapist or the rape specialist that you had sent out there.
Right.
Did the rape specialist, and again, not belittling the situation, did the rape specialist rule out any type of mental illness in the case?
Oh, yes, 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 indeed.
Okay. So that was, so you believe that would be more of a demonic presence, though, correct?
You know, I really don't know. I mean, this is just something, you know, I was never there. I heard her side of the story. It was very real to her. She would cry. She never really wanted her last name released, of course. And then, after she, sought therapy, with my encouragement, well, she seemed to, well, since from then till now, everything is fine with her.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, at least you got some help, and that's the most important thing
exactly.
in the situation.
Exactly.
Let me ask you, what about investigating things like Champy or Ogopogo? I mean,
I don't go
creatures.
There.
Okay, why is that?
I just don't. There's too many blurry photos. It seems impossible to me, but it's not. I shouldn't use that word impossible, but very unlikely that in a contained lake that we can't find something with all of our technology.
But that could be said about just about any one of these phenomena.
Well, but I mean, we're talking about an area that we know, and even though, yeah, there's the depths of Loch Ness, but the whole Loch Ness is 26, 27 miles long, and there's all these theories about how the animal crossed from the ocean into the nest, and it got locked in, and after all these years, I would believe, and all of the time and effort and all of the ice that's been on the lock, that by now that we would have certainly found something.
Right, and watching all these new specials, you know, I always believed or wanted to believe that there was something there. But now you watch them, and because of the clarity of digital photography and clarity of digital cameras and
sonar,
you can actually see a lot of these things that they used to think were humps in the water are just the rolling waves.
Mm-hmm.
And the migration pattern of birds they've found these birds that skip along the top of the water in this weird formation. And they do it in a group, and from a view, from a distance, it looks like these humps coming and something moving quick through the water, and it turned out to just be birds. So, I mean, there's certainly more coming out about that, and like you, I kind of have a hard time believing that we couldn't find something, you know, I mean, but they claim in some sonar situations that they actually are getting these large underwater masses that they can't explain away.
Right, it's inconclusive. That's the favorite term.
Right.
But
what's your theory? Do you have any beliefs on it? I know you haven't done too much research into it. I know that they're talking about maybe giant eels being more of what they're finding in Loch Ness.
Yeah, and yes, I've heard that, and snails, and long-necked seals, these are all the mammals, particularly. Would be coming up quite often for air, and not to mention that the lock itself that wouldn't support large creatures and a breeding population.
Right, or probably not enough food in that kind of deal as well.
Exactly, no, okay. There's not.
You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. My name is Dave Schrader. I'm your host here this evening. And our guest is Jerry D. Coleman, who is the author of Strange Highways and More Strange Highways. We'll be back to talk to him more about the different kind of creatures and events that are recorded every day throughout the United States. We'll do more of that right after we do a little bit of this.
We thought El Chupacabra meant the cup of coffee in Spanish.
Me llamo Eduardo Especial. ¿Cómo está el yay?
What you talking about, Willis?
Shows you what we know. Stay tuned. There's more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
Howdy, this is Don Raleigh from Evolve Systems. Evolve Systems can't help you lose weight. We don't know anything about diamonds, and we can't help you save a boatload of money on your car insurance. What we can do is help you with your merchant processing. We work with small businesses to provide credit card processing, debit card processing, gift cards, and check acceptance. Whether you need a point-of-sale system, a credit card terminal, or want to accept payments over the internet, Evolve Systems will work with your small business to find the right solution for your merchant processing needs. Ask us how you can get a free copy of QuickBooks 2006. You can reach us at 651-628-4000 or on the internet at www.evolve-systems.com. Now you have a friend. Well, not yet, but give us a call at 651-628-4000 and we can chat. Evolve Systems, where we help you to manage change. This is Don Raleigh. Cheers.
If you read Tapster Mag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
I could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Tapster Mag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology, the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at TapsParamag.com.
Do you hear loud moans and banging on your walls? Next time, pay for the better hotel room.
No more Yankee, my Winky. The donga needs food.
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town with your hosts, Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Hi, this is Dave Schrader. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town, and we're thankful for that. You're listening to us live on AM 1470 KLBB here in Minnesota, or you're listening to us on www.darknessradio.com. Appreciate you tuning in. Please tell your friends about us. Let them know about us. And also join our bulletin boards. You can join our bulletin boards by going to our website at darknessradio.com. Click on the Discuss tab. Join our boards there. We encourage you, our friends from Australia and Down Under, to join us as well. Chat on there. There's some great like-minded people that would love to talk to people from other countries and other states that would like to share their paranormal adventures and experiences. Coming back now, we've got the author of Strange Highways and More Strange Highways. The author is Jerry D. Coleman. You can get that book at just about any major bookstore and online. Got a question emailed in here from Robin Bailey, and she would like to know, when you were growing up, was there a book that captured your imagination and has kind of influenced you in your adult life to do these type of investigations?
Yes, Ivan T. Sanderson's Abominable Snowman.
Okay, and that was... you know, what about that book really kind of intrigued you and set you off into this research?
Well, I felt, and I still do, that it's highly likely and possible that Yeti would be in the Himalayas, and that that's such a vast land, and there was some evidence with the footprints and the skull cap and that came out of that area, as well as ever so often you do get a fuzzy photograph. But, yeah, that's what really intrigued me as far as books go.
Were there any other things that kind of intrigued you to keep investigating this and following along? Have you ever, because being a skeptic, do you ever just kind of get to the point where you're like, what a bunch of crap, what a waste of time?
Well, I wouldn't really say that I'm a skeptic, even though it might sound like it, but I'm a skeptic believer.
Sure.
And I believe that it's possible. But just like with the Black Panther reports that I determined out of 400, there's only 2% that I just could not figure out.
Okay.
And so there's so many misidentifications. I mean, there a lot of people that see these entities or actual animals, there's a thin line there of is it reality or is it the paranormal, and that's the first thing that the investigator has to figure out.
Now, Robin, we thank you very much for emailing in your question. I'd like to also get you a copy of More Strange Highways, autographed by Jerry Coleman. So please email in your address to me at dave@darknessradio.com, and I will make sure to get that out and mail to you in the next couple of days here. Going forward now with the different investigations, you said that you're not going to really follow up with these type of investigations anymore. Is there a new direction you're taking your life to do investigations, maybe more with the paranormal or more UFO related?
Well, it's not that I've stopped or that I've put anything on hold or not going to do it. It's that I'm going to research and go further into what has been done and see if I can come to any real answers, any conclusions, or as new evidence surfaces, we'll go from there.
All right. Well, that sounds fair. I mean, it's a great way. As I said earlier, I appreciate that approach, just kind of taking it from a different angle and you know, maybe not necessarily just buying into everything everybody's been telling you out there.
I mean, like, what's intriguing, like in chapter two of Mort's Strange Highways,
mm-hmm.
It's enigmatic entities called ghosts, and there's a, over in Virginia, there's a huge area that is divided, that farms are divided by this slave wall. Well, no one that I've talked to, none of the ghost researchers or cryptozoological researchers or paranormal researchers, none of these fellows have ever heard of this or seen it, but it stretches and divides farm after farm of this huge slave wall, and there's literally scores of stories over there of ghosts and hauntings and a lost cemetery and slaves buried under the wall. And putting all that aside, what I've done is I've contacted the county and the state to really look into this and find out if there is a hidden cemetery over there, and it should be preserved and marked and documented.
So, and I'm sorry, where was that located?
Fort Blackmore, Virginia.
Fort Blackmore, Virginia. Okay.
Yes. Uh huh.
Well, that's interesting. I hadn't heard about that. So, have you had an experience where you believe you've seen a spirit or a ghost yourself?
Well, as a child, as a youngster and a preteen, well, there were all kinds of incidents in the house. My mother would see ghosts, and we would hear them thumping around. But me personally, I never saw anything.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you being on the show with us tonight. Now, do you have a website or anything you'd like to promote as well?
Well, I set up a email for anyone that would like to contact me. And
oh, that'd be great. How can people contact you then if they have questions or experiences that are going on or are seeking help as well?
Jerry Dale 13 okay. @yahoo.com.
Okay. And is that D-A-L-E?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. So that's jerrydale13 @yahoo.com.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
All right. And please, you know, I don't know if everybody's out there now scrambling, adding you to their buddy list to start trying IMU.
I hope so.
Okay. All right. So you're okay with that if they want to set you up?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Great. So if you have stuff that you'd like to share with Mr. Coleman, stories, ideas, theories, feel free to contact him there and let him know about it. And Jerry, we've really appreciated having you on the show with us this evening and taking the time that you've taken with us. And we also appreciate the autographed copies of the books. We'll make sure to get those out, as well as the Myth or Real collector card games, which I'm going to, or not game, but the collector cards. I'm going to take a couple of those sets with us on the TAPS Ghost Hunters program that we're going to be doing with a couple of the members from the Ghost Hunters TV show. We'll give them away to a couple of people there at the event so they can actually get a chance to see them and pass them around. And people can get those from the Whitechapel Press as well, correct?
Yes, uh-huh.
And that's, I think, at prairieghosts.com is probably a shorter way to get to it. And you can order the books here. You can find out more information about Jerry Coleman. And, Jerry, we hope to have you back on the show as you do more investigating and you find more information and come out with a new book.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you, sir. You have a great
pleasure.
Night.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest for the evening was Jerry Coleman. Jerry is the author, as we mentioned, of two books, Strange Highways and More Strange Highways. You can purchase those at just about any major bookstore. You can also purchase them online at places like Amazon.com. You can purchase them online at Barnes & Noble, Walden, any of the major bookstores. You can also click on the website or web link at our site so that you can go in there and order the books for yourself. Wanted to take a little bit of time here. We've got about 12 minutes left in the show for the evening. Just kind of talk about some of the stuff that's going on with Tim and I and with the events that we're going to be hosting. For people that are interested, we did sell out the ghost hunting trip that's coming up the first weekend in June. Tim and I will be there, along with Robin the Phone Girl and CJ the Medium will be joining us as well from our radio show. They'll be on hand. We're going to go out to Rhode Island, hang out with Steve and Paula from the TV show Ghost Hunters. We're going to be checking out a haunted hotel that's actually located there. Get a chance to do a lecture series with Keith and Carl, the demonologist twins from the TV show Ghost Hunters. And you can also get in touch with them on their website at nears5.com. And that's their website. I'm also going to be going out to Chicago for the next couple of days here. I'm going to be sitting down with Chris Fleming, the host of Dead Famous, and I invite you to check out his website. And you know what, Tim, maybe you can try to pull it up for me here. I can't remember the if it's unknownmagazine.com or unknownmag.com, but we're going to be doing a sit-down interview and talk a little bit about the paranormal. He's going to be doing that as a podcast on his website, and you can check out our friend Chris Fleming at his website, learn some more about what he's doing. He's got a podcast that he's putting up. Is it Unknown Mag, Tim?
You can type in unknownmag.com, but you can also type in unknownmagazine.com. Either one takes you to the website.
All right, so check that out. Go in and see Chris Fleming. Say hi to him. Great guy. He's the host of one of the hosts of the TV show on the Biography Channel, Dead Famous. And those are live, or new episodes are always on Tuesday nights on the Biography Channel. It's a great opportunity to find out a little bit more about your favorite celebrities that have passed away, getting into it a little bit more, and see if they can actually find proof of their existence in the netherworld. We're going to be doing a ghost hunt with Chris that we're trying to plan. I think we're going to be doing it. We were originally looking to do it in July. I think July is just going to be a little too short of a month with the 4th of July weekend. So we're probably going to look at trying to do it in August, where we're going to go out and with a group of the listeners here, we're going to set that up. We'll let you know in the next week or two as soon as we can firm up a date. And I think we've got some really exciting news with that, because I think we're going to be able to take you to one of the most haunted locations in Illinois. And I don't want to
Soldier Field.
But we're going to take you out to one of the most haunted locations. We're also going to be including in on that trip. We're going to be going on a ghost tour that will be hosted and taken care of by Troy Taylor. And Troy Taylor is a really well-known author and runs Whitechapel Press. And he has some great Chicagoland ghost tours that we're going to be taking. It's about a three-hour tour. We'll be checking out all the different haunted locations, things like Resurrection Cemetery in Chicago, whereas that's the home of the legendary Resurrection Mary spirit, and some other really crazy, kooky sites that we'll be checking out while we're on that tour. You get a chance to do an actual investigation with Chris Fleming, who is a sensitive and, you know, might be able to actually get involved in a seance and see if we can pull somebody through from the other side. So it'll definitely be something interesting to check out. You'll want to keep your ears tuned here at Darkness Radio to find out more information about that. We'll also let you know about when we're going to be making other appearances. We've been able to make some really great connections with you know, friends from other radio stations. Our buddy Todd Sheets over at Night Watch has got a couple of the Ghost Hunter coming up on upcoming shows. So you want to check out his website at nightwatchshow.com. The guys from Ghostly Talk also have a couple of the Ghost Hunters popping in from time to time, and other fantastic guests. You want to check out their website at Ghostly Talk Radio ghostlytalk.com or Ghostly Talk Radio Show. I'm sorry, guys. I apologize for botching and not remembering off the top of my head. But if you Google it, Ghostly Talk Radio, you'll pull them up right away and check out their website. Great shows. We also want to mention that if you live in the Georgia, Roswell, Georgia area, a guest that we have coming up, Diana Avena, who's going to be with us in June, she has a ghost tour there. And we encourage you to check out her website, which I believe is Roswell Ghost Tour. And go out there, check it out, and check out the haunted tours that she does. Fascinating stories, really interesting stuff. She's a great lady, just a sweetheart. She is also a actress and a stunt person in some major motion pictures, has worked with some of the biggest stars out there. So really a fascinating person just to get to know and learn a little bit more about. So make sure that you check her out. We had the opportunity over the weekend here. Tim and I were out filming a pilot for a paranormal show for Minnesota here that we're going to hopefully get on the air and make available to people that are interested in seeing it all over. We did the first part of the show, and I hope that we're able to deliver some really neat information. I know that there was some contact made there with a couple of spirits, and what we were able to do is we conducted the investigation by bringing two different medium psychics into the location, but we separated them, didn't let them go in at the same time, and they had no idea where we were going. The people that own the haunted location didn't know who we were bringing, so that way we would not contaminate any of the information. We brought them out, got to do the investigation, and we were actually able to link in on some really interesting facts. So we'll be sharing that and more information about that show as it gets ready to air and as we get it available for you. If you are listening to us on darknessradio.com, and we get a lot of emails every week from people that I wanted to address. One is people make comments about the radio advertising that you hear on our show. Well, again, I do want to remind you, this is a radio show. Mm-hmm. We are on a real radio station in Minnesota, which is AM 1470 KLBB, and you will hear radio advertising on a real radio show. So we do have those sponsors that help keep our show going and keep us on the air. So, you know, please utilize the programs and things they make available. Our good friends at Rocky Shores Resort, beautiful resort if you'd like to go away and spend the weekend just getting away and kind of communing with nature. It's a beautiful place to go. We've got our friends from Evolve Systems who set up our website for us. They do fantastic work there, and they can help you with any business solution. So you want to check out their website. You can find the link on ours. Also, I wanted to mention, because we were out there doing the show, we actually got some really beautiful accommodations from American, A-M-E-R-I-C-I-N-N, which is a really beautiful hotel chain out there. And I just wanted to mention, because they treated us like we were kings and queens while we were there. And Gene Fernie, the general manager, really made our stay there very welcoming, very fun. Great food in the morning, beautiful rooms, clean, just very nice. So if you're coming to Minnesota to visit and you'd like to find a really nice place, I encourage you to check out the America Inn, which is at 2400 Vermilion Street in Hastings, Minnesota. The phone number there is 651-437-8877. Again, that's 651-437-8877. They also have locations all over the United States, so you can check them out at AmericInn.com. That's AmericInn, AmericInn.com. So I do encourage you to check those out. Beautiful places to stay. Got some other great guests coming up throughout the next couple of months. If there are people that you'd like to see on the show, you'd like to hear and learn a little bit more about, please let us know. I remember where I was going with this when we were talking about the radio show. If you are in a state, we get a lot of emails, people want to know, are we available in a local radio station in their area? Currently, we're only heard on the air radio waves here in Minnesota on Club 1470 AM. But if you have a radio station in town that you think that in your state that we'd be good for, please contact their management, let them know about our show, and email us the information about their channel, and we will contact them and see if we can get picked up and syndicated to their stations. We'll let you know as we become syndicated. I'd like to thank our friend John Ramsey's from Ghost Radio X in Australia for bringing us as part of their lineup. And that's a great paranormal radio show channel that you can actually check out online. It runs paranormal shows 24/7. And there's all types of different topics on there. From our friend Todd Sheets is on there. Night Watch show is on there. Kevin Smith show is on there. I believe Whitley Strieber's show is on there as well. So, and John hosts a paranormal radio show, as does his wife.
Yep.
So there's a lot of really great information about the paranormal that you can check out there. And we want to mention these things because so many of these people have been really good friends to us and keeping us on the air. Also, I had an opportunity to be interviewed a few weeks ago. Excuse me. And I didn't want to cough in your ear there.
I didn't turn off my mic, so everybody got to hear you.
Oh, good. All right. Good deal. We were on WCAN radio, and they do... again, I'm horrible at the name of the radio show. Strange Phenomena, I believe, is the name of it. And you can go on there and actually listen to the interview that I did. They're a great radio show and talk about the paranormal. And they come at it from a more religion-based, talking about different things. They're not beating you over the head with religion and the Bible, but they do show how paranormal investigating and the Bible and religion can all coexist. Very intelligent people, very nice people over there. But you can check them out. I think it's at WCAN. .com or WCANradio.com. Maybe Tim or Robin can look that up. Oh, she'll put a link up on our website as well. Robin will put that up for you. But they're a great radio station, and they do cover the paranormal, and we like to try to promote the different paranormal shows that are out there. If you have a paranormal investigative group that you'd like to have featured on our show, starting in June, I would like to start sponsoring having you come on the show, a different group each week. Talk to us about your group. Spend about 10 to 15 minutes getting to know you. So then that way people that are seeking help in your state can find you a little bit easier, as we are heard all over the United States via the internet here.
Tim? WCAN Radio, if you want to find Strange Phenomenon.
WCANradio.com.
General manager is Wayne Fitzpatrick, his brother Patrick Fitzwayne. Thank you very much. That's my bad joke of the night.
Yeah, so, you know, we're doing different radio shows. We'll let you know about those. We're going to also be linking them up on our website so that you can check them out. Build a nice little community here of different paranormal shows. You got the Ghost Hunters again coming up here this week on Wednesday night. You want to make sure to tune in on that. I think it's one of the last two episodes of this season, so you do not want to miss it. We do have our friends Paula and Lisa from the TV show Ghost Hunters, who are going to be with us the first weekend in June. We'll be talking about the event that we did live there and talk about their experiences with the paranormal. It'll be great to talk to Paula. She's been a good friend of our show and a good friend of me online here for quite a while now. Very intelligent woman, and kind of neat to hear it from a scientific approach, the, you know, paranormal investigative waves or ways. I also want to mention our friend Brian Hanwa from the TV show Ghost Hunters is involved with a magazine called Scars Magazine, and that magazine covers everything from true crime and true horror stories to reviews of horror movies, collectible action figures and toys regarding the horror genre. So it's a fantastic item. Check that out. It's S-C-A-R-S Magazine, and I believe you can look that up on the web. You can also check it out at MySpace. I'm going to give another cough here, Tim.
All right.
Pardon me. I'm fighting a little bit of a spring cold, I think, coming on.
Bird flu.
Yeah, it's too much. Too much being up late and not enough sleep over the weekend here. Anything else you wanted to mention, Tim, so we can kind of...
Yeah, I'll be appearing at a screening of X-Men The Last Stand on Tuesday. I may be having a small barbecue Thursday in my backyard. Planning on possibly cleaning the house Friday.
Excellent.
And... I will.
Will you be signing autographs?
Yeah, actually.
During the house cleaning?
Yeah, and my skivvies.
Excellent.
I'll be cleaning the house. It was either that or a French maid outfit, and I think the listeners really want to see me in my BVDs.
Hey, so, we should start looking at doing a live webcam during that event.
Ooh.
Yes.
Oh, yes. That's... 1995 to watch me shake it and dust at the same time.
Somebody clean my brain for me now, please. Again, our friend Wayne Herschel, who we had on the show last week, I want to make sure that you get a chance while you're listening to check him out at thehiddenrecords.com. Great website, gives you some really fascinating information and background regarding the real Da Vinci Code. And he invites you on a journey back in time, linking the Da Vinci Code with new discoveries in the pyramid area. For a preview of real geometric codes with a profound message, you can see Wayne live this week in Minnesota, Wednesday, at the new Edina Library at 6:30 p.m. at 5280 Grandview Square in Edina, and on Thursday at Southdale Area Library at 7001 York Avenue South at 3 p.m. on Thursday, the 25th of May. Tim and I, or at least I, will be there live. Get a chance to meet you, shake hands, and say hi as well. So please come check it out. Join us next week when our guests are Michael Underwood, who's rescheduled and coming back on the show with us to talk about reincarnation, angel and spirit guides, and our good friend April Greenwald, who'll be on hand to talk about paranormal investigations and her events at the Skinwalker Ranch. We appreciate you listening to us. Please, please remember to tell your friends about us. We look forward to being back with you next week.